Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello. This week, my guest is Tom, a sexual health advocate and trustee of the Saving Lives charity. We recorded this in the before times, so feel free to listen along and reminisce about a world where consenting adults could touch one another. I should add a warning about a couple of brief mentions of substance abuse and, well, I probably wouldn't listen to this one while eating if I were you. But then, if I were you, I'd have already signed up at patreon.com/probablytrue to support this amazing podcast. Meaningful look. Either way, enjoy.
This is Probably True, stories of queer life and even queerer sex. Please be aware that this podcast contains strong language and adult themes. It would be boring without them.
Okay, so it's Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. I am very, very hungover. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, we make the best decisions when we're hungover and horny. So I went on to Yellow Facebook.
That's an interesting name for Grindr.
It's Yellow Facebook or Grin Doctor. So on Yellow Facebook, very horny, very hungover, very sleepy. Like, at this point, almost anything will do. And this really attractive guy popped up and said, "Are you free?" Swapped some pictures, saw, like what I saw. He said, "I'm at..." And then gave me a address. And I knew it was a really, really, really scuzzy high-rise council building. And I was like, maybe not. So I put my phone down for a bit. And I'm having my eighth cup of coffee. And he messages again, sends more pictures to me and his friend. And his friend is also very attractive. I was like, fine, fuck it, let's do it. So had a quick shower, headed over, walked up to this council building that smelled like piss. The elevator didn't work. It was like, what are you doing, Thomas? What are you doing, Thomas? What are you doing, Thomas? So it's fine. I'll just go in. We'll have a quick shag. I'll come home and have another shower.
Just a Sunday morning.
Just a Sunday morning. And got there and he answered the door and he seemed very nice, if a little wired.
Okay. Was he as attractive as you thought he was going to be?
He was just as attractive as he was in the pictures, which was a pleasant surprise.
Always good.
Yeah. And he seemed nice, a little wired. I thought maybe he just had a lot of coffee like I had. I was jittering all over the bloody place. And went in and his friend was there and his friend was also just as attractive in the pictures. So this was good. And I was like, okay, so, you know, let's get to it. And as I sit down for a minute first, I was like, all right, we're just finishing a drink. I was like, and I noticed them putting pipettes of things in their drinks. I was like, oh, okay. And that's the moment I should have probably gone home. But I thought, no, I'll just wait it out. I don't have to have any. You know, I've no interest in having any. But, you know, they do what they please. They'll have their drink. We'll get on with it. And then the doorbell went, and then another person turned up. And they said, could you get the door? So at this point, I've only been there 5 minutes. I've watched them taking drugs. And I'm like, I'm answering somebody's door. So let this guy in, who is a nice-looking guy, I say, he came in. And before he sat down, he had a bag of powder. I said, what are you doing, Thomas?
What have you got yourself into?
What have you got yourself into? So I was like, let's see where this goes. I was probably still a bit drunk.
Because you're there now.
I'm there now. And there are three very attractive men, two of which are in their underwear.
You missed that detail out.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah. The two that were already there were in some very nice underwear, and the one that just arrived was snorting some powder and taking his clothes off. I thought, well, let's see where this goes. So I sat down, and then they're chatting, and by this point, another sort of 20 minutes has passed, and they asked if I'd make them a cup of tea. So I'm now in their kitchen, making a round of tea for everyone that's arrived. Whilst I'm making the tea, the doorbell goes again and somebody else turns up.
Did they ask you to wear a little French maid outfit?
It was feeling like that.
Yeah.
Oh, so I was like, fine, I'm just going to go home in a minute. I will...
Once you've made the tea.
I was like, I've started making the tea now. It would be rude not to. I will finish making the tea. One number two. And then
this
I will...
This is so British.
I mean, give them their cups of tea and then I will head home and just have a wank.
Sounds sensible.
Yeah. Right. So I take the cup of tea through to the living room, set them down on the coffee table, at which point the guy who invited me over starts undoing my trousers.
Oh, right.
And proceeds to, you know, set me off. And, you know, I'm like, hurrah, something is finally happening, you know. I've only been here in an hour, I've answered the door, I've made people tea, I'm finally getting a blowjob. A very proficient blowjob. Excellent. You know, enjoying myself. And then everyone else joins in, and it starts. It's, yes, finally, a decent, you know, what, there's five people there at this point, you know. And then, okay, the next bit gets a bit gross. This one, the guy who invited me over says he wants us all to fuck him. So I was like, excellent, good, I'm down for this. He's very attractive, got a great ass. The first guy starts fucking him. Because he's on G, he can't get hard, so it's like trying to push jelly through a letterbox. He finally gets it in, says he's not enjoying it, pulls out, and the guy shots all over the living room floor. At which point, they looked at me. I think the implication was, could you grab some towels? And I grabbed my trousers and walked out the front door.
Wow.
Pulling on my clothes in the hallway as I walked down the floor. And I deleted Grindr for about a month after
I'm
that.
I'm not surprised. That's enough to put you off men, let alone Grindr.
It was possibly the single least sexy moment of my entire life. I made tea, I answered doors, I watched a man shot, and I only got half a blowjob.
I mean, it was a good half a blowjob. I've had full blowjobs that weren't as proficient as that one
there
sounded.
There are some bad blowjobs.
Oh, so many.
What's with teeth? People use teeth.
You come away feeling like when you have a Sunday dinner and you have to peel the carrots. I come away feeling like that. Like,
one of my friends and I went to a sex club in Birmingham called Bolts, and this friend is quite partial to a glory hole. I was chatting up some guy at the bar, and he said, I'm going to glory holes back in, you know, 15. Fab. I'm at the bar, chatting to a friend. I hear a scream from the dark room. I go in, and my friend is there with his bloody cock in his hand. Apparently, a guy had got a bit overexcited with his teeth and, like, torn my friend's frenulum.
Ooh.
And there's blood everywhere.
Oh.
So my fun Sunday at the sex club turned into me wrapping my friend's cock in blue roll, shoving it back in his trousers and getting us an Uber to the hospital.
Lovely.
Yeah. Gay sex is so glamorous.
Oh, mine's just gone back in. That's horrible. Back to this group thing. Did you hear from any of them again?
Yes, so the guy who messaged me first, who invited me over in the first place, did message me a few months later once I'd reinstalled the app. So I deleted the app, like, on the way home. I was like, the fuck am I doing? So, yeah, he messaged me a few months later, and he asked if, you know, I had any pictures and I booked for meeting, and he did not remember me one jot, which I'm kind of pleased about, I guess. From his point of view, I was never involved in the car crash that was that Sunday morning, sorry.
So
people forget people. It happens.
That's true.
But yeah, I'm kind of glad that he'd forgotten me, and I was very happy to hit the block button when that came around the second time.
Oh, I mean, what was going through your head when you were making tea and answering doors and things?
I was very, very hungover. My penis had not gone down for about 4 hours, and there were several very attractive men in underwear in the living room that were going to have sex with me. I was like, I'll just get the cup of tea out the way. I'll just get the answering the door out the way. I'll just get this out the way, you know. And, you know, then there will be sex. And then the sex was the disaster. But, yeah, it is kind of sad, and I appreciate it. Sometimes when you're horny, anything will do at that point, especially when a very attractive, muscled man in very tight underwear invites you over. I'm like, yeah, that'll do nicely. I mean, we're all suckers for a good-looking man in nice underwear.
It's true. I can see myself in a similar situation. Just kind of like, I end up at parties washing glasses, refilling the snacks, because it saves having to deal with people.
I went to a house party not too long ago, and I crashed over on the sofa because it was in Richmond, and I was like, I live in northeast London. I woke up in the morning, filled the dishwasher, ran the vacuum cleaner around.
Wow.
Tidied up generally. I was waiting for them to wake up. It was 11:30 at that point. I was like, 12:30 by the time I'd finished cleaning, I just let myself out.
Do you think they were just hiding in a bedroom waiting for all the cleaning noises to stop?
Quite possibly. To be fair, yeah. If you think back to when you were a kid and your mum tried to wake you up with a vacuum cleaner or cleaning noisily, yeah. I've become my mother.
Bless your
That's
sweet
terrifying.
Self. So after all of this, what made you re-download Grindr in the first place? Again.
Well, my life and my role has changed somewhat since the days. I now work for a sexual health and HIV charity.
Okay.
So my presence on Grindr is more of a sexual health information and advice role rather than a shag role.
Right. But still not making tea and answering the door for people who are too high to do it themselves.
I prefer not to these days. You know,
that makes sense,
people to do that for me.
Yeah. Oh, good. Take them with you next time.
The staff. So I quite frequently get people messaging me with queries about sexual health. You know, I've done this. Is this a risk for HIV? Or I've done this and I'm having these symptoms, and I'm happy to help and signpost them to services. Occasionally, I will get a picture of some discharge, for example, or an anal wart, which is always a fun thing to open your phone to. And I'm there in a work capacity, so I get it. I'd rather they asked if can I send you a picture of my oozing penis before they send it, but here we are. And again, I'm happy to help and I direct them to services or whatever. But so many times, like literally half an hour later, I'll get, so do you want to hook up? I'm like, no, I do not. I have just seen pea soup coming out the end of your cock. You shouldn't be having sex with anybody for the next 14 days after treatment, let alone me. I have given you advice in a professional capacity. It would now be, I'm sorry, it's unethical for me to have sex with you now. Goodbye.
Take your stanky cock and go.
Like, no shade for anyone who's gone STI. You've had good sex. You got it from having fun. But, you know.
Yeah.
You know, put it away until the treatment's finished.
Yeah, absolutely no shame when it comes to STIs. I've had loads.
Oh, haven't we all?
Yeah, but then I'm a massive slag.
I used to be.
Yeah, bless you. You're married now. You've settled down.
I know. I'm boring these days.
Yeah.
Are you tired of listening to the same playlists over and over again? Are you ready for something new? Discover the latest music from LGBTQIA musicians on Homoground. There's so much music ready for you to devour, like this song by Carl X. What are you waiting for? Visit homoground.com or search Homoground on your favorite podcast app. Same ground, different sound. You're on Homoground.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Was there ever a point where you thought you could see your life going to a point where you were on Grindr handing out sexual health advice and looking at manky willies rather than actually on there to get seen to?
This is me, so probably yes. I'm the kind of person that turns up to sex parties, ends up opening front doors and making cups of tea for people.
You make a good point.
Or cleaning up at house parties. Like I like helping. So I kind of have taken the platform of Grindr to its ultimate conclusion for Tom, as where I'm helping people rather than, you know, getting my own rocks off.
You're the Mary Poppins of chill outs.
I am, you know. Mm. I do have a lovely handbag.
Is it particularly spacious?
It is.
Oh, dear.
Well, you've got to carry everything with you. So, but, yeah, as you said, you know, I'm settled down now. I've got a partner. I've got a dog. So my needs for Grindr have changed. And the charity I work for, Saving Lives, is trying to reach people in new ways. So being on Grindr and Scruff, etc., is kind of a useful way of doing it. You certainly speak to people who have never been to a sexual health clinic in their lives before.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
A lot of people ask me advice is, I've never been tested for HIV. It's probably the most common one. So where can I do it? And I'm like, you are 38 and your profile name is XXLBBcock. You're like, how have you never been tested before?
Wow.
But any holes at goal. Well, me is, but that's not the phrase I was reaching for.
Any port in a storm?
Yeah.
Better late than never.
Better late than never. That's probably the right one. Not any holes at goal. I mean, it is.
Oh, my God. So tell me a little bit more about your charity.
So Saving Life is based in Birmingham, although we have a national reach, and I am based in London. We promote testing of sexual health infections, HIV and other bloodborne viruses via postal testing kits. So it's finger prick test and then 5 spots on a dry blood card. And you just post it back to us and we give you the results.
Cool.
Free of charge. My role is social media and community engagement, so it's Twitter, Facebook, Grindr, Scruff, Tinder, Hornet, like all those. Ugh. I spend a lot of my day on cruising apps, not cruising.
It takes the fun out of it.
It is. But I enjoy it, you know, like I say, talk to unusual people. And a lot of people whose English isn't their first language, so I love typing on Google Translate and typing into Grindr. But I do enjoy it, and I get to meet interesting people, and I do see a lot of willies. Most of them very unattractive and unwell, unfortunately.
Oh, but yeah. Then it's good that they've got someone to turn to in those kind of situations.
If you work in sexual health, everyone's got an amazing story or several. My colleague, Dr. Naomi, who's the E4 sex clinic doctor with the Master Fair.
Okay.
Lovely lady. We're at a TV show recently, and in the interview she said that she had a patient jizz up her arm recently.
Oh.
She said, you know, it's normal in clinic when people get hard when they're being examined because they're embarrassed and one of the embarrassed sort of reflexes is actually to get hard.
Okay.
And this guy was an older gentleman. She was inspecting him, and he just kept saying, I'm going to wee, and then shot a load up her arm.
Wow.
Bless him. These things happen? But
it's a distressing image.
Everybody in sexual health has an odd story like that.
I love it. Did you say that your postal testing is all over the UK? Anyone in the UK can order a test?
Yeah, anyone mainland UK. So wow. England, Scotland, Wales. So if you go to takeatestuk.com mm-hmm. and the checkout use voucher code SAVE17, SAVE17, and that'll get you a free testing kit. And you just post it back to us. We process it at Public Health England, and we'll text your results if it's negative or give you a call if it's positive.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then kind of go, hey, you need to go and talk to these nice people at your local clinic or something.
Yeah, so because we're part of the NHS, we have the ability to redirect you to your nearest clinic and, if necessary, even make you an appointment for that clinic. So.
Oh, that's handy.
Yeah, it helps link people in better. So a lot of people will get a positive home testing kit result and then not do anything about it because they don't know where to go and maybe they're embarrassed. But
yeah, I suppose there's a lot of shame around actually ringing up and going, hello, I've been told I've got gonorrhea or whatever. Yeah. I need to come in and see you. Oh, that's really good. That's really handy.
And we also do work around you calls you and PrEP, so trying to get that message out there to people.
Is there a message we can get out there?
I suppose when it comes to talking to men who have sex with men on Grindr, the one I talk about most is you calls you and PrEP, because they're such new messages, and because they're new messages, they haven't got a lot of coverage yet, and they're also quite clinically, scientifically termed messages. So you equals you, undetectable equals untransmittable. That means if you are HIV positive, like me, you're on treatment and you have an undetectable viral load, you cannot transmit HIV to another person. So sexually, you cannot pass HIV on, you can't pass it on if you're a mother who's pregnant, so marvellous. But the term undetectable equals untransmittable is very clinical, and if English isn't your first language, or perhaps you just haven't got a great grasp of scientific terms, it's a lot
of long words.
It is. So THT coined can't pass it on, which we quite like, or hashtag zero risk. The other one is PrEP, which is pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is another catchy name, which is a pill that HIV negative people can take to prevent themselves from acquiring HIV. You can take it either daily, or you can take it event-based, which is two pills before you have sex, and then basically two pills 24 hours apart after you have sex.
If you schedule your sex.
And so I usually don't recommend event-based dosing to people unless they do very infrequently have sex or they have scheduled sex. If you want best protection, I'd take it daily because you're always prepared.
Yeah, I've heard of people, I think there was one guy I spoke to in Manchester who, him and his boyfriend, don't play around much, so they don't, like, very rarely, so they don't, they're not on it, because they just make sure that whoever else they have sex with, they use a condom.
Yeah.
But then they were like, oh yeah, we're going to Berlin for a week, so we've both started on PrEP this week, so next week we can do what we want and not have to worry. And I'm like, that's actually quite sensible.
Another method we talk about, that's called the holiday method.
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly, yeah. So you start taking it a week before you have a period of high risk, such as a holiday, and then you continue for a week after your holiday.
Good thinking. So a week before, all the way while you're on holiday, and then a week when you get back.
Yeah. But the message I talk about a lot, especially online, is that there's no such thing as a bad HIV test result. There isn't. If you test negative, obviously that's great because you are HIV negative. You know that now. And you can take steps to protect yourself. You can condoms, PrEP, you equals you, and you can get on with your life. If you are positive, that's also a good result because you now know that you're HIV positive, which you did not before. And you can get on life-saving treatment, which is free on the NHS. And you live just as long as anybody else, and you can't pass on HIV once you're on treatment. The only bad result is not knowing your HIV status, because those are the people, unfortunately, that are passing on HIV. Almost all HIV infections in the UK come from people who think they're HIV negative.
And yeah, so you're passing it on to other people, and you're also
getting ill.
Yeah, because you're not treating it.
Or you could just do a single finger prick test every 6 months, and no. But people.
Just people.
Just people, you know.
What a bunch of bastards.
We have been to cruising grounds and sex clubs with our testing kits before. Get some interesting reactions. Some of the people are all for it, and some people are like, how dare you talk about safer sex where I'm having sex?
You'd think that would be the place.
Yeah, I mean, we don't go up to people mid-fuck and go, excuse me, are you wearing a condom? Can you pull out a second while I pop one on? Like, we just...
I mean, that's...
Can I hand you a pamphlet while you're in the sling? No, which just, you know...
They need something to read while they're laid there.
We're there at the bar, and, you know, with our pull-up stand and our kits and stuff. Sometimes we buy you a free drink for people to get tested, so...
That's nice.
Yeah. Everyone likes a free drink.
Does it help? Well, the free drink helps, obviously, but does the testing help? Have you helped people?
Yeah, well, a lot of people we test in sex clubs, again, don't necessarily come to clinic. A lot of people that go to sex clubs are people that aren't openly out as gay or bi to the wider community. So that's why they're at a sex club, because they can't go on Grindr, for example, in case somebody sees them. They can't hang around in the brightly lit, beautiful glass gay bars like Rupert Street or whatever, because someone might see them. If they're not going to go to a gay bar, they're certainly not going to turn up at a sexual health clinic because somebody might see them. So we try to go to the interesting places like Bolts and Vault 139, or reach them on Grindr, try and get kits in their hands.
It's good thinking.
It is. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
I'm sure.
I go to all the fun places.
And you get paid to be on Grindr.
I do.
That's amazing.
I mean, yeah. One of the other charities I work for goes to cruising grounds a lot, handing out condoms and lube and advice. And they have a rule that you can go back to cruising ground and meet clients, but you have to leave 72 hours between your last shift and when you go there personally, which I think is a fair rule, because you're less likely to bump into your colleagues, and different people will probably likely be there. So
that's true. And I suppose they're less likely to remember you as well. Yeah. You can't be like, I'll be back in 20 minutes.
Let me just take off my testing t-shirt and put on a harness.
So if people wanted to get in touch with you and couldn't find you near them on the apps, what's the best way for them to do that?
So you can find me on Twitter as @positivelad, or you can visit my website beyondpositive.org, and my contact details are on there.
That was Probably True, the multi-award-winning storytelling series written and produced by me, the multi-award-winning Scott Fleshart. It was designed to remind all of my queer siblings that we are none of us alone. You can find links, transcripts of every episode, and all that good stuff at probablytruepodcast.com. If you enjoyed or found value in anything you've heard today, you can support the show on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/probablytrue. And if you want to get in touch, just search Probably True Podcast on the socials.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.